Hello, everyone. Welcome to our listeners. We're really excited to talk about clean and clinical today. This is really a topic that's so important to me personally, and it's part of the reason I started Harm Nutrition. But there's so much myth when it comes to this topic, so we thought, why not have like a full episode about the words clean and clinical and really talk through what this means and maybe discuss some hacks as well, how you can incorporate like an easy way of clean living into your day-to-day. Welcome, Jennifer. Nice to see you.
You too.
How's your week been so far?
Been great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Nice weather. Just getting ready for the year ahead. I feel like there's just like a lot of stuff going on right now with work and personal life and just kind of being organized.
Personal life? Oh, okay.
Like, well, nothing dramatic or exciting.
Okay.
Just like... I have to take my dog to the vet. It's just, I don't know, like things like that are just life things.
All right. I'm not going to ask any other questions here. All right. Let's start with our, you know, wellness trends that we see, our series of Well Yes and Well No.
Yeah.
Tell us, Jennifer, what's your Well Yes this week?
My Well Yes this week is regenerative farming practices. Where I live, there's actually a fantastic regenerative and organic farm, and they have the best produce. And when I moved and they were open, I started kind of like looking into it, and it's really great practices, like for soil health, for using less water eventually in farming. And I think that it's a really, really interesting kind of trend that has
staying power.
It's
the new organic, honestly. Yeah. It's like, you know... For those who are not so familiar with it, but it's really important to like really maintaining like the soil with the nutrients. You rotate the crop, but also you make sure plants are being planted that sort of like synergistically work together, and you try to really remove anything that depletes the soil of all those nutrients. And to be honest, like I recently was in Africa, and like there the soil was so fertile. It wasn't even like, I can't describe the color. It was like red.
Yeah.
And you know, the fruits and the vegetables, they were so delicious. Like, honestly, it's like, I'm all for it. I think that's a huge well yes, and I hope that more people, you know, will look into this, because it really helps not only, you know, you're not only getting better foods, but also you're helping the planet in a great way, and it's something we care about. So that's a huge, you know, huge one for me too.
Yeah.
How about your well-know this week?
My well-know, I wanted to pick something that was on topic for our conversation on clean and clinical, because it's also near and dear to my heart. So I'm very happy we're talking about this. But that if something is natural, that it also means that it's clean.
Mm. Okay. Well, we'll unpack that in a second.
We'll get there.
I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Well, my well yes is just to ban all these nasty ingredients that are already banned in Europe, including artificial colors. I mean, there's just no reason they should be in our foods, in our... in candy. I mean, why are you giving kids all these crazy colored foods? And like, you really don't know what the long-term health of this looks like. And even if there's a question mark and there's no science to say this is definitely harmful, it's like, why risk it? I mean, I just like, I'm all for it. And I think California is banning some of these colors. There's a lot of like conversations around this. Did they end up banning it or not? Because I thought Skittles won this battle, didn't they? And like, they were like, oh no, you cannot ban this red. It's too important for our business. And like, I'm a little bit upset about if they don't ban this, but I feel strongly about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. They ended up changing the things that were banned in California this past year, but I think there's enough kind of like upswing that I think that'll probably happen.
And, like, but also titanium dioxide. We have like titanium dioxide in so many pills and like foods, and like, and just for those of you not familiar with it, it's like it makes things brighter, and then you can slap another color on top, and the foods just look even more, you know, attractive. But all it is marketing. There's just no benefit to it. Please stop and ban these ingredients. We have to talk about this more. I really want to be vocal about this, because I feel strongly about it, and I really think there's no space for these questionable ingredients in our foods, and why risk it, honestly? And it's just like to pay yet another supplier for, like, they're making colorants for foods that are just not helpful. They just sell maybe a bit more unhealthy food. So even if the actual ingredient is not harmful, it is not even like promoting the right foods. I mean, let's be honest, I have never seen a really healthy food where they added titanium dioxide and slapped color. It just doesn't exist, right?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Yeah, no, it's good to make sure that, you know, the foods and the things that you're eating. And then, you know, one of the things that we're always thinking about when we're formulating our products too is making sure that we're, you know, using natural colors in our gummies, all of those sorts of things.
Yeah, and then I'd say my well no this week is like when people go into extremes, like in some workouts too, I see this like it's all cardio, no weights. And like I think everything in balance and everything in moderation works really well. So I saw that trend. I thought like, you know what? It's nice to combine a bit of like cardio training with like strength training. And, you know, I think it's good to keep things balanced anyway.
That's interesting. I've seen a lot of the opposite, I feel like.
Really?
Or maybe I'm behind on this trend. Yeah, I've seen a lot of things like, oh, just do strength training, don't do cardio. But I'm like, well, a little bit of both.
Well,
is
you
nice.
Know, it's this pendulum swings all the time, right?
True.
Like today is like all cardio, no weights. And next week it's going to be the opposite. And that's the reason why I'm not a big fan. I think it's much better having a routine that works in the long run and that you can incorporate into your life easily. I mean, I think that's really the most important thing. But anyway, share your trends that you're seeing online, questions you have. You know, we always want to hear from you. But let's dive into our topic right away, which is clean and clinical.
Yeah.
And like, before we even go into clean and clinical, it's like, I just want to like ask you this question. Jennifer, do you know why they always slap white lab coats on RDs on pictures? And like, so you're an RD, and like to make it look more clean and more clinical, I suppose, is where's that all coming from?
Yeah, I need a lab coat, I guess.
What happened to your lab coat? Like, hey, we're talking clean and clinical.
I never liked wearing a lab coat. When I worked in hospitals, I would always try to not wear a lab coat. And some of the places I worked, we were required to wear a lab coat because it was sort of like a layer between like your clothes and if you're in someone's room and for like contamination or something like that. So I got it. But a lot of times I'd go into a patient's room and they'd, you know, all of a sudden freak out and think I'm their surgeon or something or a doctor. And I was like, no, I want to have a conversation with you about your food and not be scary.
Well, also, but like the lesson is like just because someone wears a lab coat doesn't mean they're necessarily qualified to give you health and wellness advice. So it's like
you can buy a lab coat anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. But there's a whole business around that too at Barney, you know, like there's a whole like trendy lab coats and stuff like that. But anyway, we're not talking about lab coats. We're talking here about clean. And let's talk about the definition of clean, really, right?
Yeah.
Like, how would you summarize clean? Like, and I mean truly clean, not like the sort of like, you know, it sounds great, but we don't really mean it kind of clean. But like, how do you define truly clean when it comes to supplements?
So it's a tricky thing, right? Because there's no definition of clean. So it's been sort of left up to interpretation and left up to certain brands and people to interpret what they mean by clean. And so at Hum, and what I think is like a reasonable way to define clean is that you are not intentionally nor unintentionally adding ingredients or things into your foods, your products that can be harmful to health.
Or not contribute. I mean, I think we take it a step further, right? Where we say, look, sure, this ingredient may or may not be harmful, but why even have it in the first place if it doesn't serve the purpose of, you know, being healthy to the consumer? I think that's really important there as well. But I think you're putting your finger right on the issue here, which is like there isn't like an official regulation around this, right? Which is going to be hard, of course, but like, you know, how can we ensure that a brand actually means clean? But I mean, maybe let's unpack that afterwards and let's talk about clinical for a second and come back to the clean piece. And like, clinical, another big word, right?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, this is, I hear two things. I hear science backed a lot. Right? And we talk about that, and like clinical as well.
Yeah.
What's your take on those?
I think science-backed is a very nice term that if I see that, I go, well, at least this brand is thinking about science in some way. What they're actually doing, I don't know, but at least like they're kind of paying some sort of lip service to it. So maybe I'll sort of like unpack this. The clinical aspect of it, I have seen misused a lot lately. I've been talking with friends and people in the industry and in the research world, and there's been a lot of misuse of the term lately even. And it's something that I'm like, I think it's kind of like an interesting conundrum also, because there's also no like firm regulation of it. So like clinical,
which is why we're talking about
which is why we're talking about it. And you know, this is how we support, you know, the word clinical and helping people understand what it means in general, but it's, you know, making sure that you are using ingredients or testing your finished products to clinical trial standards and requirements. And there are actually requirements for how to conduct clinical trials. So making sure that these ingredients are in a specific form and dose that's providing a benefit in the product, taking that finished product then, testing it using a gold standard, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trial that follows all of the ethical and regulatory guidelines that are required to be a clinical trial.
Yeah, and I just want to build on that. I mean, I think what's important is like that the actual, what you see is like in formulas, you see two things, right? You see like, oh, it's a clinically backed or science-backed formula. And then you look at the ingredients, and then sometimes what happens is like you see an ingredient in there that has been clinically studied, mm-hmm. but it's maybe not the right amount.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or maybe it was done in a completely different, you know, context, right? They mm-hmm. found that, I don't know, in a food source, and then they just extrapolate all that and like say, okay, this is going to work across the board. So I think the quantity itself mm-hmm. is really important. So like when you look for a clinically backed ingredient, you want to make sure that whatever was studied in the clinical is literally one for one replicated mm-hmm. in the formula. Then the next level, and I'm a huge fan of this, is like when actually brands go out there and take the final formula and take this formula to a clinical trial that's placebo controlled. And I think that's the gold standard, really. Like when you see mm-hmm. the product is clinically studied and there's even research that was published in a peer reviewed journal, I mean, then you really know this brand means business. So what I'm looking for personally is really like brands that are actually actively conducting research mm-hmm. and then sharing this research with a greater scientific community. I think that's really important. And something we do here at Hum, because look, our research may benefit innovation for the future as well. And we don't have to like, you know, be the ones to benefit. I mean, I think it's so important to share information and build a better, more efficacious future within the space. And I think pushing the boundaries that way. And even like, I feel like, look, if we do it, others have probably more of an incentive to follow suit.
Totally.
So we put indirectly pressure on them. And I really feel strongly about that. Like really being front, like, you know, ahead of the, you know, curve a little bit and making sure like we set the standards and the right standards so others follow suit in the pursuit of better health and wellness for the consumer, because that's what we're all about ultimately, basically. But let's go back to the clean piece and the clean standards. Like, you know, we have something called the ICK list here at Hum. And there's obviously two components, right? There's like how we source mm-hmm. and then also how we label, right? Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second. Let's talk about the sourcing first and then how we label and the transparency in labeling. Mm-hmm. But talk to me more about the sourcing and the ICK list. Like, you know, what do we accept sort of as sort of like acceptable when it comes to like ingredient sourcing?
Yeah, so when we are formulating a product, we're very careful to make sure that we're not formulating products with any ingredients, you know, like I said earlier, that might be harmful for people in some way. And again, it might be harmful, not like, yes, 100%. There, obviously, we don't formulate with anything that's banned. It's illegal. We obviously don't do that. That's like the bare bones minimum, right? Then there's, okay, what is the best practice that people should be doing? And then what we're also doing is then going a notch above that and making sure that all of the ingredients that we're sourcing are not from a genetically engineered or modified source, that they meet all of the Clean Label Project guidelines. And so these specific guidelines even go beyond most of the other regulations and other testing that's out there right now, because they are specifically testing for like heavy metal levels. They're testing for pesticide residues, for plasticizers that might be in these products. So we make sure when we're formulating that each specific ingredient we know is going to comply with this and that it meets these really, really high quality and safety standards.
And what I love about the Clean Label Project is like, you know, we met them years ago. We've been working with them for years now. Yeah. They actually go around and pull product off shelf mm-hmm. and then randomly test it in labs. So like in addition to all the testing that we're doing as well to make sure that our, you know, manufacturing is at the highest quality standard. And by the way, we can sell our products in Europe, for example, because we meet all these really like strict standards when it comes to ingredients and to the claims. But what I love about the Clean Label Project is like they literally just go around and pull random product off the shelf and then send it to a lab and then, you know, make sure what you claim isn't the product, but also making sure there's nothing else in there that is potentially harmful to the consumer. So I think that's a really, really interesting partnership that we're having. And I really encourage everyone else, you know, out there, if you shop for vitamin, make sure that they have that Clean Label Project logo on them, because they're doing an awesome job when it comes to like really holding brands like ours accountable for product quality. And then the second piece is transparency, I would say, as well, right? Like everything that goes into a product needs to be on the label, and it sounds so obvious, but it's not really industry practice, is it?
Yes and no, right? So it's one of those kind of like tricky things. So the FDA, we hear people say, oh, the FDA doesn't regulate supplements. I'm like, well, they don't regulate efficacy of supplements, but they do regulate how supplements are manufactured. So and how they're labeled. So as part of those regulations that we have to comply with, that all companies should be complying with, but they don't necessarily do it, is that we need to make sure that what is on our label is exactly what is in that product. So we've got documents, you know, that our quality team maintains that shows, you know, very specifically each of the raw materials that's in this, the finished good, this is what's in it. And we're showing people the specific amounts. If it's a standardized form, we're putting the specific standardization, again, to be very transparent with our customers so that they know what they're putting in their bodies.
Yeah, and I think it's just like the more detail you find on the label, typically this is a good sign of like, you know, a brand doing its homework. But watch out as well for those other ingredients, I would say.
Yeah.
You want that list is short, right? You don't want it to be like a very long list of things you don't understand necessarily. So you want to keep that list short. I mean, that's probably another good, sort of like a good hack for consumers to read a label, I would argue.
Yeah, I usually tell people, it depends on the ingredients. Like some ingredients they need, it's very complicated, like how the encapsulation or soft gel process and stuff like that is done. But it is something I generally tell people. You know, you want to look for things like, we use a lot of like rice flour and rice bran as those like other ingredients. And those are just in there to help with like, as the powder flows into the capsules, that it's able to flow correctly.
Yeah. Which will help that the right nutrients are across the board.
Exactly. And that's something like, that's why it needs to be in there for a specific reason to make sure that we're getting that consistency from capsule to capsule.
Are they called flow agents or something like that? Yeah. Sounds almost like Mission Impossible to me.
Yes,
but like,
flow agents.
But I mean, who doesn't want to be a flow agent in their life? But like, generally joking aside, it's really important that these other ingredients are actually something you can more or less understand. And like, if you can visualize the ingredient, I think it's typically a good sign, like rice bran or rice flour, which in our case, we use quite a lot, you know, as a flow agent to make sure that each capsule has the perfect amount of micronutrients that you find on the label again. And that's really what you come for when you take that supplement. That's super helpful. Is there anything else you want to talk about when it comes to clean? Anything, you know, that which you think listeners should be aware of?
Yeah, I mean, my crystal ball says that like greenwashing has become a thing, right? Yeah. Where we've seen people like, oh, we're so green, we're a green company.
Clean washing.
Yeah,
tell me more about clean washing.
I think clean washing is green because, again, there is no definition, right? And so it's sort of left up to interpretation. So again, what I always tell people is like, okay, well, if you want to buy something that Hum doesn't make, for example, then you want to see, is this brand transparent with what they're telling you they do with how they support clean? Do they just say clean, but there's nothing there about it? Is there any third party testing? Do they talk about their testing and quality practices and so forth?
It's almost like a resume, right? If you have somebody applying for a job, you do a bit of like background check, I guess, right?
Yeah.
So there needs to be like a former, I don't know, person that they worked with that can say this is great. And I think they're having external points of validation, like the Clean Label Project, or you know, maybe there's some other organizations out there. But I think just knowing what that clean process means and what like why a brand says they're clean is so critical. And I'm with you there. Okay, that's super helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I know we're doing things the right way, but it helps people so they don't have to necessarily just trust like, you know, me and our team.
I also like to see when people source like ingredients, it's like, are they thoughtful about this, right? Yeah. For example, you know, this is like a detail, but like, you know, in our fish oil, we use these small fish and like sardines, anchovies and mackerel. And the reason why we source from fish oils from those small fishes because they are the ones eating the plankton. Mm-hmm. Then they metabolize that plankton as like healthy fats. Mm-hmm. But there's also larger fish in the ocean that eat everything that they find basically, and they are highly polluted actually. You know, there was a recent study that came out which is awful. It's like dolphins, for example. I'm not saying that they're like, you know, you wouldn't find them a fish oil, but let's say a tuna, which is a predator, for example, or like larger fish, right? You find in the ocean. They have a lot of like heavy metals in them, for example, but even like residues from drugs that are banned, like you find them in fish. So I think it's really important to understand, it's like, you know, those ingredients that make it into a formula, is a company thoughtful about those? Because ultimately it comes back to health and wellness, and it really comes back to like providing the highest quality, right? And I think understanding how a brand thinks about sourcing, it will tell you probably a better picture on like, you know, why this is a good product or not.
Yeah.
Let's talk about clinical, right? Again, it's such a like, so there's the clean washing.
Yes.
And then there's also, what would be the equivalent term for like the, because I
science washing.
Yeah, I see that a lot, basically. Yeah. I don't even know how to stop. I'm slightly surprised by that, I must say, that there's this trend. Of course, people want to sell their product and this and that. But honestly, if a brand does not conduct clinical trials, they should stay away from the word science. I really think so. It's like, of course, they can, you know, buy a few ingredients here and there. But if honestly, I feel very strongly about this. If they don't invest all their profits back into research, because research, let's be honest, you never know what the outcome is, right? We've been through trials, and like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's the whole point of it. You're not doing a trial.
Yeah. Well, that's why we
just to validate. You're really doing it to push the industry further, to discover new things and making sure you're really having efficacious products. But sometimes that means that they don't work.
Well, and you're formulating thoughtfully too. Like to me, I know I have a hunch that our clinical trials are going to work, right? And the reason that I have this hunch is because we're using clinically tested active ingredients in these formulas. We're specifically selecting ingredients that we know are efficacious for these different results. And then if we put them together in a formula and we sponsor, you know, a research study, we should see these results then. Again, you never, there's always going to be kind of like slight differences and nuances when you're getting, you know, different types of people together. But yeah, and like that's what you're.
Yeah, honestly, it's like I think a brand that doesn't invest in research shouldn't say it's a clinical brand. I feel strongly, but simple as that. Mm-hmm. Like if I hear a brand saying it's like, oh, we are like science backed and all this, okay, then show me actually the research that you have been investing in. Sure, you bought maybe a few ingredients here and there that may or may not be backed by science, but I want them to actually put the money, you know, their money where their mouth is, really. You know, it's like if you want to say you're a grown up, you know, show me your ID. You know? Simple as that.
Yeah.
Are there any formulas, like, you know, obviously we have conducted several clinical studies, right? Fan Club is one example.
Yeah.
Where we have taken clinically studied ingredients, but then also shown in the clinical study.
Yep.
You know, efficacy. Mm-hmm. Are there any other products, you know, that you think we should highlight to our listeners that, you know, they should be aware of?
Yeah, I would definitely also highlight Fan Club, Flatter Me, and the Hair Strong product as well. Flatter Me, I think, is really interesting because, you know, there's other enzymes out there that have been clinically studied, like Beano, but it's got one specific type of enzyme that's good for breaking down fibers. There's lactate and lactase, which is good for breaking down lactose. But what we showed in this clinical study is that people who don't have IBS, who don't have some sort of like disease or something, who just get like that occasional meal-related bloating, have a relief from these bloating symptoms that they're experiencing with a meal. And like, to me, that's really helping to kind of like the move the science forward, because it's something that's uncomfortable that a lot of people experience, and that we know that, you know, this particular product and our blend is helpful for that.
Totally. How about when it comes to the ingredients, because you're close to both, right? You're close to the science, you're close to the sourcing as well, because you obviously look at like how we purchase ingredients and all that. Are there any sort of like interesting, you know, details that we maybe don't talk about that often, but that you would love to highlight?
Yeah, I always like to highlight, for example, the chlorella that we have in Daily Cleanse.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've had lots of conversations and things over the years where sourcing a specific chlorella for us to use in Daily Cleanse has been a struggle at times, because when we're doing that upfront work, we want to make sure that, again, we're not going to have higher levels of things like heavy metals in our products. And chlorella, the algae, because one of its functions is absorbing like toxins and contaminants, including heavy metals, it's hard to sometimes find chlorella that isn't higher in heavy metal levels.
Yeah, you're buying the sponge, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So we've spent a lot of time, and, you know, our procurement and supply chain folks work really, really hard. Sometimes, you know, us being like, you know, we really need to make sure and get all of these testing things and do our own testing even of raw materials before we'll like put it into a formula, again, to make sure that it's going to meet those standards.
And the one thing you notice, like, you know, obviously people get a bit used to this, but there's often a Prop 65 warning on products, right? And we really try everything we can not to put any of these warnings on our label, on our products, because it starts with the sourcing. Mm-hmm. And the tiniest mistake in your sourcing can actually make you have a whole, you know, product that doesn't meet Prop 65 requirements anymore. So you have to put a warning on your label. So we like not to have those warnings on our label, basically. But, you know, it's something I want to call out. And so you guys are doing an awesome job there. Let's move on to our rapid fire, RD rapid fire. And if anybody has questions about either clean and clinical, drop them in the comment section below. But I got these from, you know, from our listeners. And the first one is, what are the most common misconceptions about clean supplements?
I would say that they are more effective or safer.
Interesting. Yeah. Why is clinical validation essential in health products?
To show that it works. Show efficacy.
Makes sense. Yeah. Yep. You know, we're not buying supplements because it's so much fun. It's really to help you with your health and wellness. It's true.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, I'm a huge fan of, obviously, as you can imagine, I have my whole routine here, but like, you really want to make sure something you ingest, you put inside your body, is truly good for you and not a waste of money, to be honest, right?
Yeah.
Can you name a harm product that perfectly embodies both clean and clinical?
I mean, I really like our fan club product. I think that for women who are going through menopause, there's a lot of different symptoms that they're experiencing. And the way that we formulated this product, there's several ingredients, and we really were careful to make sure that we were selecting ingredients that will meet those clean, those quality requirements that we've got. The individual ingredients were really, really robustly studied in clinical trials and shown to be effective for these different menopause symptoms. Then we turned around and we sponsored a clinical trial comparing Fan Club to placebo and saw that it was effective and actually worked in reducing menopause symptoms like hot flashes. So I think maybe that was one of the first products I worked on at Hum too. So I think that's why it's kind of near and dear to me.
But I think that the good thing about Hum is that all of them meet clean and clinical standards, basically. You know?
Yeah, I mean, true. That's
the beauty.
That's the right answer, yeah. That's all of them,
That's the beauty of the Hum brand, really, that we do the homework.
Yeah.
So you get the best of both worlds. You get clean ingredients and efficacious formulas.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I feel like for the amount of work that goes into the products, it's shockingly inexpensive, really. You know, if you think about, like, you know, normally, like, in this category, a brand that would invest that much into both clean and clinical ingredients and formulas, you wouldn't get that at this price point. We're really unique on that front,
I would argue. Yeah. Very good point.
How do clinical standards ensure safety and trustworthiness in supplements?
I would say it shows proof that the products are actually working in the way that they are supposed to work, and also looking to make sure that there's like no negative side effects.
Totally. And then last question, what's one piece of advice for consumers when shopping for clean supplements?
I would say to look for third-party certifications like the Clean Label Project. There's other ones out there like NSF or USP. We really like the Clean Label Project. Look to make sure that they're backing that up.
Super helpful. All right, that's it. Thanks, Jennifer. I really appreciate that. So just to recap, you know, it's really important to watch out for signs that a brand is clean but also is clinical, because it will not help you with like having a product that doesn't contain any potentially harmful ingredients. And clinical obviously is for efficacy, so making sure you're getting the results that you're buying the products for. Yeah. So this is really, really critical. And then last but not least, I think, you know, we feel so strongly about this. We've built the whole company around this premise. It's always the consumer first. It always has been, you know, consumer over profits. And, you know, this is why, you know, we really want to make sure we have the highest quality at really accessible price points. And we're really proud of it as well. But if you have any questions, drop them in the comment section below. We really appreciate that. Give us a follow. That's also something we really appreciate, so we can keep up this great work, continue to invest in clean formulas, continue to invest in research to make sure your wellness, your wellness game is raised. And last but not least, I want to say quick thanks to the whole team here. Thanks, Brooke, Riley, and Julie for making this episode happen. And Jennifer, it's always really good to see you. I'll see you very soon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Can't wait to our next podcast. But in the meantime, you know, stay clean and clinical.
I'll be our new greeting here at Hum.
And I can't wait to hopefully share one day with you my fruit and vegetables that I've been planting. I'm waiting for them.
Love it.
And try them, you know, maybe they're on like regenerative soil and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's good to see you. See you soon.
See you.